been doing some reading lately in the 23rd Psalm. And I asked myself, just how profound was this declaration of David? I wanted to see this scripture in a completely new light. And what I'm going to say tonight is, I don't think terribly new or revolutionary, but maybe a twist on what David was really saying here. So we're going to leave the pasture that David is standing in, and we're going to go to a different pasture that is found in Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46. Jesus continued, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory with all his angels, he will sit on his royal throne. The people of all nations will be brought before him, and he will separate them as shepherds separate their sheep from their goats. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'My Father has blessed you. Come and receive the kingdom that was prepared for you before the world was created. For when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was a stranger, you welcomed me. And when I was naked, you gave me clothes to wear. When I was sick, you took care of me. And when I was in jail, you visited me.' Then the ones who please the Lord will ask, 'When did we give you something to eat or drink? When did we welcome you as a stranger, or give you clothes to wear, or visit you while you were sick or in jail?' The king will answer, 'Whenever you did it for any of my people, no matter how unimportant they seemed, you did it for me.' Then the king will say to those on his left, 'Get away from me. You are under God's curse. Go into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry, but you did not give me anything to eat. And I was thirsty, but you did not give me anything to drink. I was a stranger, but you did not welcome me. And I was naked, but you did not give me any clothes to wear. I was sick and in jail, but you did not take care of me.' Then the people will ask, 'Lord, when did we fail to help you? When you were hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in jail?' The king will say to them, 'Whenever you failed to help any of my people, no matter how unimportant they seemed, you failed to do it for me.' And Jesus said, 'Those people will be punished forever. But the ones who please God will have eternal life.'" I'd like to think that Jesus in the audience, as he's giving this impassioned speech and parable that I'm betting there's shepherds in the audience. In fact, in the Middle East today, there are shepherds that do interspecies flocking. They will put sheep and goats in the same pasture. Some even add cattle and horses. But the reason they would have done it in biblical times, having sheep and goats in one enormous flock, sheep are going to produce wool. And wool made what was called normal cloth. Normal cloth could make anything from undies to a tunic. Now, goat hair was a little more special because that heavy, thick stuff was so well waterproofed and so heavy and so thick, they actually made tents out of that stuff. So you're going to get two basic needs together from two separate animals. Sheep provided meat. Goats provided milk. And you didn't have to worry about running out of food to take care of both animals because they don't eat the same stuff. You got sheep that are pretty content with your average grasses. Whereas goats, they like to go higher. They like to nibble on the shrubs, the trees, actually anything that doesn't eat them. But typically the woodier stuff. And since both were considered a clean animal, it's all good when it's sacrifice time. Whether it be Passover or Day of Atonement, you need sheep and goats. So you've got two animals that if you have them both under your care, it's economically makes sense, and for ritual sacrifices, they're both important. Now, as it turns out, sheep and goats really aren't biologically that different from one another. You don't actually come to a classification difference until you get all the way down to genus. They are the same subfamily. In fact, some people have trouble telling goats and sheep apart because they actually look so similar. They both have the very same eye anatomy, that cool little horizontal slit so that they can literally see what's behind them without turning their heads. And because they're both ruminants with the four-chambered stomachs, you can go ahead and let them munch in the early morning, and they're going to keep working on that until well into the afternoon. And it's also a good thing to know that you can't feed either one of them a tomato. But I digress. The big difference with a goat and a sheep is how they behave. And that's the point that I'm going to focus on. Everyone's heard from every master under the sun that has talked about sheep, what sheep are like. Everyone's heard that sheep are extremely sensitive to noise, that they're very scared by even shadows, ruts in the ground. Everything has to be perfectly smooth, devoid of big rocks. Nothing different, nothing sudden, nothing pesty. They get spooked and panic by just the littlest change, by the littlest unexpected anything. They're content to feed on a pasture that just has one type of grass. They don't start getting picky. And they don't start thinking about the greener pastures. Remember the three billy goats Gruff that wanted the greener pasture, and that's why they had to go over the bridge? Sheep really don't care. As long as they can eat it, they don't get sick of the same old, same old. They are, however, picky about the water. They want right out of the sky rainwater. No dirty puddles, nothing floating in it, no bugs, none of that. They want to be able to see themselves in it. They don't want that water to move very much. They want to be able to trust it. And they congregate pretty close to one another. Sheep don't become loners. They like being in a group. They feel safer. And because they like to move as a group, it's kind of like watching 24-year-olds on a soccer field. They all move as one group, back and forth, back and forth. The ball doesn't even matter after a while. But because these sheep flock so well together, there are shepherds that don't even bother erecting a fence because they're pretty certain they ain't gonna leave. One by one, anyway. And if they do leave from a one specific spot, they don't want to go where they haven't been before. They want to place their trust on a leader, a shepherd, who they know. In fact, sheep remember voices, faces, facial cues. You can even name them and they'll remember their names. And they want to hear the calm, gentle voice that simply bids them to come. And they will go to someplace new because they'll trust that the shepherd isn't going to steer them wrong. You see, sheep don't exactly have great defense mechanisms. The best they can do, really, they can try to stamp their feet in the ground and hope that they churn up some dust. They can try screaming, but it really isn't that annoying to a predator, so their best shot is to run. Now, goats, on the other hand, here's what really shows the big difference between a sheep and a goat. A goat, for instance, is going to get sick of eating the same old, same old. And because they're such independent little suckers, they will go anywhere to get something to eat. And they are so not picky about what that food is. I actually was reading accounts on the internet of people saying that of goats eating glass, tin cans, cardboard boxes, they are just as happy to eat the container the food is in as the food itself. They can't digest it, but they'll chew on it, taste it anyway. Goats are very curious. They're very independent animals. You have to keep them penned up because they're not going to stay where you expect them to stay. They will test a fence that you erect for weaknesses. I saw pictures of a goat trying to figure out which would be more fun, to climb under a fence or literally climb the fence itself and jump over it. I even saw pictures of goats in small trees. Because as long as that trunk is angled, the goat will actually climb up onto the tree. They're explorers. They're seeking adventure all the time. They prefer the unfamiliar. I don't know. I guess it's just cool. And they don't hang in groups. Goats don't. Nannies don't actually clump together with a bunch of girlfriends. They're all kind of loners, and they're fine that way. So if you put goats in a pasture, they don't clump together. They will spread out, and they just go their own direction that they want to go. And when an enemy threatens them, the goat's first instinct is not to run, but it is actually to turn and look it in the eye. Give it kind of the cold stare. You know, the one that your mother gave you when you were a kid? Okay, that's a goat. And the goat will charge upon a predator. And the bigger the horns it has, the faster it'll actually run toward it. And they will attempt to butt the enemy with its force. Oh, and about the water source, if they're thirsty enough, they'll drink anything. They're not going to be too picky about water quality. So what we have are two different personalities. We've got a sheep that knows its limitations and knows it has to turn its life over to the one who will be their strength, who will be their shelter, who will be their comforter, who will be their one source of living water, and the one that they can feed on. They will feed on that one's word. They need a leader they can trust. Goats lead themselves. Now, we've done that. Use your imagination, create a pasture, put sheep and goats in it, put one shepherd in the middle. The pasture then becomes a church. Jesus becomes the shepherd. And every church has sheep and they have goats. Now, Jesus proves himself to be a leader that both sheep and goats can, should, and must trust. Why? Because he bought both of them with his very own body and blood. He has the right to lead them. But what happens on a practical sense? Let me give you four things that do happen on a practical sense. Number one, the sheep recognize, they accept, they are willing to submit to the command of the shepherd. So let's say the shepherd is calling his flock. And let's say he's giving them a verse from, oh, say, Romans. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. Are sheep afraid of enemies? Terrified. Do they do it anyway? The submissive ones still will. A sheep who actually has a neighbor that's very judgmental kind of person will look, the sheep will look in his yard, and let's say it has a field of berries. Raspberries, blackberries, whatever. Looks at the choicest berries, picks every one of them, puts them in a bowl, goes over to the judgmental neighbor's house and says, I picked these for you. Just for you. Why? Thought you'd like to have something fresh for breakfast. Another sheep. Let's say in Metro Detroit, meets up with someone of a completely different religion, different culture. Let's say it's a Muslim. Most sheep I know, pretty scared of them. But one sheep takes to heart and says, if your enemies are hungry or thirsty, you take care of them. So the sheep approaches the Muslim and asks, can I take you to lunch? And gets to know them. Has a nice friendly chat. And becomes a cemented friendship that leads to the sheep telling about the great shepherd. goat. Goat hears the very same message from the shepherd. What's the goat going to do? Well, the goat is going to refuse this completely. Goat says, I'm not talking to anybody outside of my church. It's bad enough I got to do the small talk at the door before service starts. And then I have to see them again in a week. But you want me to actually do what with an enemy? That's their problem. Number two, the shepherd has one flock, one pasture. It ain't one specific church building or address. Jesus doesn't only show up at one house of worship. Jesus has a unified body, a unified church, a unified flock. All of us sheep are all supposed to be on the same flock together. Jesus didn't tell Peter, I want you to set up this specific denomination. It's one church of his sheep. It's of anyone that will submit to him as Lord. Period. So, when the shepherd comes and he decides he's going to break down the fences, he's going to break down the walls that are separating this flock from that one, the different denominations or different locations, when he gathers them all together to form one flock, when he's tearing down the fences and walls and explains, just as Paul did to the Jews and Gentiles, this is how Paul worded it. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God. What are submissive sheep that are sold out on the shepherd going to do in that case? They're going to run to each other. They are going to become one enormous flock. They're not going to care about differences in color. They're not going to care about income brackets. Age isn't going to be a qualifier. Size isn't going to matter. The maturity level in Christ is not going to single anyone out. Gender won't make a difference. The level of spiritual giftings, it's all going to be regarded not only as equally important, but can equally bless not only one another, but can bless the shepherd. And each sheep, no matter what giftings they have been given, they are lifted up to minister to one another and to testify to the goodness of the shepherd. Doesn't that sound awesome? Amazing? What's going to happen after he breaks down that wall separating and the goats are in the pasture? Well, the goats are going to look each other up and down. And then they're going to turn and walk away from one another. They're going to go their separate ways. Why? Well, they know themselves. They're content with who they are. They're content to the degree of relationship they have with the shepherd. It's all good. They know how that works. They're not looking for more. They're not looking for different. They've been the same way for how many years? It's fine. They're going to stick with the small talk before church. And they're going to do it with the ones that they already know, these visiting goats. Well, I mean, it's all right. I mean, somebody will say something. And besides, you know, you kind of can tough it out. The service doesn't last very long. You look at your watch long enough, you can start thinking about your schedule and your lunch. And you don't have to suffer forever. I mean, you won't have to see these goats again for another week. For that matter, the goats don't even see the sheep again. I mean, don't goats have stuff to do? The sheep can do their thing. It's all good. We goats, we're content with who we are. Hasta la vista. Number three, the shepherd sheep lead others by example to do what? To grow the flock. When a brother or sister comes, let's say it's someone that's homeless. What's one of the goats going to say? Go in peace, keep warm, eat your fill. We've heard that one from Scripture. And yet they supply nothing. What's the congregation of sheep going to do? They know what the shepherd would do. They know what the shepherd wants of them. They've seen the shepherd do this. And so they'll feed these homeless. And one sheep will actually welcome them with an outstretched hand and say, "We're not here to do something nice for you. We're here to worship the shepherd with you. We want you with us. Because you're going to fall in love with this shepherd. And that love is just going to grow and increase, multiply. It's the best thing going on. You got to come with me and experience this." They're not going to have a screening process, the sheep. How did that guy get to potluck this Sunday? How did they let him in? Aren't people worried about their kids? We need to set some ground rules here. That ain't sheep. That's goats. Number four, daily, the sheep agree to follow the shepherd's example. Sheep don't wake up one day and say, I followed the shepherd yesterday, but today I'm on my own. It is a daily trust until they die. So it's not surprising that every day sheep will set aside time and mentor a child. Every day, sheep visiting with widows. Sheep that begin Bible studies with baby Christians to help mentor them and grow them in the faith. Sheep who will pray for the sick in a hospital, will actually go to that hospital and pray with them. Sheep who will tutor a man in jail to help him finish high school. What are goats going to do? Well, they decide on their own what they're going to do on any given day. So on any given day, a goat doesn't want to get involved with someone who's been mistreated or ignored, who's been persecuted or bullied. A sheep will care for others, but a goat will obsess over his own hardship. A goat may go to church, but there's something that they want out of it. They want the key to happiness here on earth, how to double their income. A goat says, I don't have the patience. I don't have the constitution to go to a hospital and sit with somebody that's sick. And frankly, I just don't feel sorry for the alcoholic who's struggling. It's their own fault and problem. So a sheep submits himself totally, daily, to Jesus. And Jesus totally, daily tends his faithful sheep. He totally, daily cares for every one of their needs. He guides them every day, protects them every day. And in return, the sheep pursue him and obey his commands. A goat does not submit to the shepherd. Goats focus on what they want, not what they need. Goats don't have peace. To them, the Christian walk devolves to a list of do's and don'ts, and frankly, they just aren't interested. But what happens when the going gets tough? So my question is, which are you? Now go back to Psalm 23. David, this is a really mighty stand that this man is taking. This is King David. warrior David. He could have said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I am his ram. And I'm going to use that power, and I'm going to drive that enemy back with my horns and my size and my prowess." That's not Psalm 23. This is a David who is naked before his Creator, who is humble, who is contrite, who claims, "I'm just one of his little sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul." That's one humble little sheep. Are we that humble? Are we that willing to let go of our willfulness, of our wayward tendency? Are we willing to settle for any kind of food and not allow ourselves to submit to the best? What kind of sheep are we? Holy Father, you know me better than I know myself, and I'm not going to pretend that I'm a ram. I don't want to be a goat. I just want to be your sheep. I want to follow you. I want to see your face. I want to hear your still small voice. I want to be a listener. I want to pursue you wherever you're going. I trust your rod and your staff to comfort me. I want your table before me spread in the presence of my enemies. Father, you have blessed me so abundantly, my cup does runneth over. And I want a fresh anointing of you every day, because I need it. I can't do this without you. There's no reason to even wake up in the morning if you aren't in it. I crave for the goodness and mercy to follow me all the days of my life. I want to dwell in your house forever. And if there's anything in me that's holding that back, you can send your holy fire. You've got the power to do it. I'm asking you, I'm begging you, I'm pleading with you to do it. Why? To make me a more submissive sheep. You bought me with your very body and blood. So who am I? I'm yours. And And I want to be that example. I want to be the sheep that follows your command, no matter what it is, no matter how I feel about it. I want to be wholly yours. Make us your sheep. And if you should raise any of us up to become rams, I pray that we are rams sold out on you. That the power comes from you. That the authority to use it comes from you. And that leadership position is used because you gave it, because that ram is willing to do anything and everything you tell it, and to do it exactly how you want it done, how you want these sheep led. But it starts with submitting to you. Good Shepherd, we submit. We follow you.